Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Former Governor Ed Whitcomb, who grew up in the tiny southern Indiana community of Hayden, served as a B-25 navigator in the Second World War and escaped twice after being captured as a prisoner of war. He came home and entered politics, was elected to one term as governor in 1968, left the public life behind, but in his 70s decided to sail around the world alone in a 30-foot boat. About a dozen years ago, he bought a secluded cabin overlooking the Ohio River to work on his writing. His books include Escape from Corregidor, about, among other things, swimming through shark-infested waters after breaking out of a POW camp, and books about his life and sailing exploits. Whitcomb, the state's oldest surviving ex-governor at age 95, now lives with his wife Evelyn in a house in the remote river community of Rome, population fewer than 100 people. Rome is along a section of twisting State Road 66, where the Hoosier National Forest meets the bluffs over the wide Ohio, about an hour and a half downriver, and actually southwest of Louisville. Did I mention it's remote? Rome stumped both of my GPS units. When I arrived, the governor was on his front porch in a rocking chair, in a pressed white shirt and red tie, a smile for everybody, including the neighborhood kids who come to visit the Whitcombs every day. As we talked, it began to rain, but we stayed dry on the porch in a couple of rocking chairs, and Whitcomb talked about how he found his house and Evelyn, who he married earlier this year. Let's describe where we are, because we're on the front porch of your house.
Yes.
Is Rome the former, I guess Rome must be the former county seat of Perry County, and there's a historic old courthouse here right out your front yard with a big lawn around it. You are out here in an immaculately pressed white shirt with a red tie. You look so distinguished.
I have distinguished, yes. This place has a long history. This was a tavern at one time, a roadhouse. It's about built in about 1825. And we saw this place, and it was just about to fall down. We rescued it, and we got Amish carpenters to work on it. Boards in the floors in here where it had come loose. Dogs would get in there and chasing rabbits and squirrels and stuff. And it was in terrible shape. And I can tell you, everything you see when you go in the house and come out of the house is new.
You love this part of the state, the Ohio River.
Oh, yeah. This is home. This little town of Hayden, where I was born, my parents and my ancestors all there, and that many old friends. And I was just telling everyone, when I go back to my graduation class, senior class, I'm the only one there, being 95. But I'm very comfortable in that southern Indiana.
Why do you like southern Indiana so much? It's home. That's
a
big thing.
Sure. Everything goes back to that.
I like the story of when you were a young man, you jumped on a train and left home to go out east.
Yes. I explain that by saying that I looked around and saw that my father was born and raised in this little town. His father had been born and raised there in that little town, and they had spent their life, and I decided I wanted to get out and see some of the world myself.
Tell me about Rome. What was this place?
Rome, Indiana. We're on the, you look out the window, half a mile here is the Ohio River. Runs east and west right past our property. There is a entanglement of roads and streets which you just got acquainted with. Coming in here, the easiest thing in the world is to get lost.
Well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to admit to a navigator like you, a World War II airman and navigator, a fellow who circumnavigated the whole world in a sailboat by himself, but I did get a little bit lost coming here.
Well, you don't need to be embarrassed by that. I get lost coming in here myself.
This is kind of a remote area. Is that part of the charm for you? Is that we're away from everything?
Yes, and in a sense it is. It's far from anything I ever experienced in my life before. And the lady you just met is Evelyn, and we were married about 6 months ago after about 14 years of being acquainted. Now here, looky here.
Who are these young guys? Some of the youngsters from the neighborhood?
Who is this? Here. Come on. Come on. Give me a hug.
I'm tiny.
Come and give me a hug. There you go. Oh, I miss this. I miss that school.
So, but you were saying for many years, you lived in a cabin. You were governor of Indiana. You moved to a cabin overlooking the Ohio River.
It's a long story. I don't know if you want that much.
I admire that. No, I'm not, you know.
Involved in a lot of activities, and I wanted to sail, and the time came when I could sail, and time came when I wanted to write a book. And I tried that at home. Hayden is 120 miles northeast of here. It's my home, and it's a little bigger than this, about 200 or 300 people. But I had too many interruptions. But I had a friend. Do you remember Warren Atkinson had the Atkinson Hotel? He and I bought property on the Ohio River, and I visited him many, many times, and I found a place that I liked myself, and I bought it. Then, in writing, I found I couldn't get anything done at home. So I came down and bought that cabin, built a cabin, and started working on it. And then, you're going to get the rest of the story.
Governor, I have all the time in the world. I love your stories. That's okay.
One day, a new local newspaper advertised a computer class for senior citizens at the Perry Central School in Perry County. So I dressed up and went over there, and the instructor had people lined up along the wall, had their computers on the wall, and instructed them on the use of various parts of the computer. Then he said, I would like for you to write the name of a friend on the monitor so he would see it. Well, I had sat down beside an old gray-headed lady when I got there. I never saw her before in my life. And I noticed she wrote up on the monitor, Edgar Whitcomb. I had campaigned in this county when I ran for governor. I'd spoke at the Legion, spoke at different places, and in the newspaper, on the radio, and TV. So the next day...
She said she didn't know who you were?
But it turned out she lived in the country, 23 miles through the woods. And the next morning after that, her car showed up at my log cabin on the river. Then every day, she came every day. Finally, I built a cabin, called it Miss Evans' Cabin, a place for her to stay while she's there.
And 14 years later, just 6 months ago, they were married. Former Governor Edgar Whitcomb and the former school librarian and longtime civic volunteer Evelyn Geyer tied the knot in February at his cabin on the river.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
On Monday in Indianapolis, the state will recognize former Governor Ed Whitcomb at the State House. A bust of Whitcomb will join those of other governors on the third floor of the Capitol. A World War II Air Force bomber crewman who was captured and managed to escape from POW camps twice, he became a lawyer and politician after the war. He left office 40 years ago, but Whitcomb managed to stay busy. Remarkably, he sailed most of the way around the world alone on a 30-foot sailboat while in his early 70s. That's the subject of one of his four books. We visited with the governor and his wife Evelyn in the remote Ohio River community of Rome, down in Perry County, about an hour and a half west of Louisville.
Tell me about this community where you live.
Well, it's just people so nice here, and we have little kids that are just our pride and joy. That's what's good about it. Friendly people.
I saw the young girl from a couple doors down.
Yes, yes. Beautiful little girl.
Tell me about Do you call him Ed? Do you call him?
They call him Ed.
He's a person of great curiosity ever since he was a little.
Adventurous, kind, gentle, just a wonderful person.
Some people kind of slow down and everything as they go along. Does he still have that adventurous spirit,
yes,
you think?
Yes, I think so, yes.
People still know him? And
yes.
You...
I think it's fun as you go down the street and someone or sitting in a restaurant eating and someone says, oh, that's Governor Whitcomb. You know, and that's kind of nice after this many years. And he's always glad to see friends. And we say about book signings, we see old friends and meet new friends. That's the important thing.
And what's that like?
That's fun. I love it.
What did you think when you first saw that cabin overlooking the Ohio River?
That was beautiful. It's just breathtaking over there. As he said, it's close to heaven, and it is.
What is it about? I mean, for folks who were from, say, the region up near Chicago or from Indianapolis, what's the character of the Ohio River counties like Perry County? This is a different part of the state, isn't it?
I think friendliness. You know everyone, and everyone knows you.
One thing I noticed just getting here, it's a little bit remote, isn't it?
Did you come down 66?
I did, yes.
Okay. Well, if you'd have come down 37 to 70, it's a lot better road. But that's a scenic route.
Tell me about this part of the world, though. You've traveled so much and done so many things. Why Southern Indiana? I mean, you could live in Indianapolis or anywhere else you wanted to live.
The simple answer is seclusion to write my book. I ended up writing about four books.
Escape from Corregidor, your first book.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
I think you escaped twice, but one time, if I remember the story, you had to swim through shark-infested waters.
Same waters two times at night.
What was that like?
That was like doing something you had to do if you wanted to survive, just about. You had to get away from the Japanese in a prison camp.
And then 2 years ago, you finished your book on the Around the World sailboat.
Yeah, it was called Sailing 2. That was the name of the boat.
What in the world made you do that?
I had a sailboat, and I had it in a harbor up in Massachusetts, and I wanted to explore the Greek islands. I wanted to get involved in Greek history and Greek mythology and learn about those things. And I found that when I was Secretary of State and Governor and all these different things, there wasn't time for it. They couldn't do that. Then I was about 71 when I was finally passed, went out of office as governor and had the freedom to do it. Then's when I started sailing. And the sailing experiences were delightful beyond description. And that I sailed alone for the most part and found it just enjoyable beyond belief. The scenery at night, sunsets and sunrise in the morning and stars and moon at night.
Were there any close calls, big storms, giant waves?
No. Never felt that I was on the edge of anything.
No kidding. How did you, was that lonely? How long were you
never, out? Never lonely. I, of course, had radio and could communicate and never had any problem like that. I was there because I wanted to be and I didn't.
You weren't marooned. This was by choice, right? You're 95. You're in great shape. What do you attribute that to?
I take no pills, take no medicine of any kind, no special foods. I don't have any aches and pains of any kind, and I'm free as a bird.
Is this a matter of good genes or clean living or what?
Inheritance.
Tell me one story from your sea voyage or your time in the service or your time in the governor. Tell me a story that sticks with you, something that changed your outlook, that made you who you are.
One thing that bothers me a great deal is that I was a navigator on two of the greatest mass flights in history of our country, like B-25s. Two fleets of B-25s flew to Japan, and they turned out to be fiascos. Fiascos, terrible. Our plane, many of our planes were destroyed. We had no fighter protection. We had a lot of things that were overlooked totally and completely.
former Indiana Governor Ed Whitcomb speaking from his home in the tiny community of Rome in southern Indiana, west of Louisville. He's from another small community down that way, Hayden. He's always been something of an adventurer. At age 16, he told his mother he was headed for Sunday school, but went down to the railroad tracks instead and hopped a series of freight trains to get to the East Coast, where he toured Boston and Washington. He was eventually picked up by the police for jumping trains and sent home. His mother met him at the door and said, "Well, that's one long trip to Sunday school."
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
There's a growing culinary trend in cities across America, food trucks. You may have seen them or even eaten at one before, but if not, food trucks are essentially traveling kitchens. Instead of you finding the restaurant comes to you. And it's not just hot dogs and burgers. These food trucks specialize in delivering cuisine at a discount price. Take Slop on Top, Muncie's own food truck. Owned and operated by Bob Maddox, they offer unique sloptions with clever names like We Be Yammin' and Unstuffed Pepper. And their truck? Well, you can't miss it with the cartoon food fight emblazoned on its side. Contributor Ian Shepherd stopped by during their first ever breakfast night to speak with Bob Maddox and see what they're all about.
Yeah? Good? Awesome. Was that the best sandwich you've had this week?
This week? Yes.
So what got you into making a food truck?
Honestly, it just sounded like a fun adventure, and I'm a pretty big fan of food, and I know other people are too, and it seemed like something that Muncie needed.
So is there any food truck that maybe inspired you, or was the moment that got you the idea, food truck?
The general concept got spurned by, you know, the stuff that happens down in Indianapolis. I worked down in Indianapolis throughout most of the week, I just decided that Muncie deserves something like that, and I figured I was the guy to do it.
So tell us what are you making here right now?
I'm just making some pancakes. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. This is pretty outside of our norm. We're doing breakfast for dinner tonight. But we were able to kind of fool ourselves into making it fit the theme of the truck because we've made some interesting, quote-unquote, slops to stick on top of these pancakes.
Like what?
Just a collection of different stuff. The one that seems to be the most popular right tonight is one called tiramisu, kind of chocolate coffee, cream sauce, and it's flying out the window.
So what other sort of foods do you sell here?
Normally we serve stuff on rice. We're called Slop on Top. The slop that we have is generally something akin to a chili or a stew served over the top of that rice. And come up with a lot of our own recipes, borrow some from, you know, cultures near and far, and that's our shtick.
What are your most popular items?
The most popular item that we have is one called Pollo Texaco. It's kind of like a Southwest barbecue chicken. And then I thoroughly enjoy the sloppy popper. That's another one that we kind of came up with. It's kind of a deconstructed jalapeno popper with some chorizo added in there.
I've noticed that you have vegan options as well in the past.
Yeah, we have a vegetarian or vegan option every day. That's another thing. It just seems like there's just not enough options for people that want to either eat healthy or that aren't akin to eating dead animals. So here we are, making some options for folks.
Have you had any issues running a food truck in Muncie?
No, zero issues, except for the fact that Muncie doesn't really get it yet.
So, what do you mean by that?
It's always a challenge to explain to people, you know, that we don't have a set location and we don't have a set time or a set menu or anything like that, that basically you have to rely on the interwebs to kind of inform you about where to find this, what we're going to be serving, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So, where are some of the locations you often go to?
I mean, honestly, right here where we're at Village Green is kind of like our homestead, but we've been to a lot of places, with various, you know, parking lots around town. And like I said, this has just been our home base because people don't get it otherwise. We just don't have as many people show up if we're not here. So,
is it more popular with the students that drop by Village Green Records right off campus?
Yeah, I think so. But again, right now there aren't many students around, so we've been having to kind of try and call an audible, figure out where else we should go.
So whenever you go to places, specifically not around like Village Green Records, how's the reception?
I mean, the reception's always good. It's just how much volume you have. You know, it doesn't matter where we go. Everybody likes our food, as long as we can get it in their mouth. Convincing people they should stick something in their mouth that's called slop is a challenge in itself.
What are some of the issues you face as a food truck restaurant owner versus a traditional restaurant? What are some of the issues you face, and what are some maybe the the benefits of that?
Well, the issues are you get about this much space. We're looking at a 10 by 20 foot, you know, area, floor space, and then in that you have to try and fit everything that belongs in a normal kitchen between, you know, the cleaning supplies and the refrigeration and the, you know, water and electricity and all that kind of stuff, and you have to cram it into this tiny little space. And it's a challenge, but it's a fun one.
So you've noticed there's more of an upswing in business,
new
faces every time.
Again, we were only here for a month while school was in session, and so you
started in April.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was March 15th, but I don't know that the first 2 weeks count. But yeah, so like, I mean, we were here for a little over a month while school was in session. Then everybody left, and we're still managing to survive. I can't wait for school to start back up and see, you know, people return. I mean, every day people are talking about how they can't wait to be back, you know, to be able to have their slop again. So,
you like lines around the corner back when you had students here?
No, it's never been like that because, I mean, we'd only been here for a couple weeks. So it takes some time for that critical mass to grow, but I think we're getting there.
So any end goal hope with this?
No, I mean, I hope that it changes Muncie for the better. You know, I hope that there's more unique food options that arise. I hope that other people are able to pursue their visions or dreams or entrepreneurial endeavors. You know, like, I hope that it's inspiring to someone, you know, and if it is, then great. If they want help, I'll help them. If they, you know, like...
Even if they want to open their own food truck?
Absolutely.
So, invite the competition, right?
Sure. No, because it's not about me. It's not about any of that. Like, I want the truck to survive, obviously, but this isn't about money. This isn't about monopolizing. This is about starting something that Muncie deserves.
That was Bob Maddox, owner of Muncie's only food truck at the moment, speaking with Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd. If you wish to track down Slop on Top, just search for them on Facebook. There's information about where they will be parked and, of course, the menu. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.